It has been pointed out to me that for some reason most of this shiur didn't get recorded, or at least 6 minutes of it didn't, so I'm going to re-record a brief version of it for those who pointed this out. So last year we discussed the non-literal approaches to the sin of Reuven. We noted that elsewhere in Tanakh, especially in the case of Avshalom, sleeping with one's father's wife was seen as an act of rebellion. And it could be that the reason that the Torah described the sin of Reuven as sleeping with his father's wife is because by inserting himself into his father's intimate affairs, he was essentially claiming the place of the patriarchy, of the as patriarch for himself. But today we'll turn to the literal approaches that Reuven really did sleep with Bilha. But here again, we have to look at it in different ways, and the Mefarshim really subdivide as to why he sinned, if in fact this was literal. So one approach is that this was a sexual sin, and he was overcome by desire. And the fact that this was his father's wife was essentially accidental. And this appears, for example, in Jubilees, or the Testament of the Patriarchs, where they tell a story, basically, that sounds like the story of David Batsheva, that Reuven was saw Bilha bathing on the roof and became overcome with desire. And therefore he slept with her. And fundamentally, this was a case of sexual desire. And again, the fact that this was his father's wife is almost accidental to the story. And in these stories, it does also sound like she was not a willing participant. Either it's rape, or at least she was sleeping or not fully aware. So it's essentially rape. But she wasn't consensual, though it doesn't necessarily sound that way, considering that the word used is vayishkav rather than vayaneha, which sounds more consensual. Now, within this interpretation, so you have to wonder why it was that the story ends with Vayishma Yisrael Vayuvnei Yaakov Shnei Masar. And what is the relevance of telling us that Yaakov's children are 12? So the Ibn Ezra, who also takes the position that this was a sexual sin, simply holds that essentially Yaakov was disgusted after his wife had been slept with by his son, and therefore didn't want to sleep with Bilha, and Leah and Zilpah. Leah was the mother of Reuven, and Zilpah was the child. It was the maidservant of Leah, and therefore they're associated with Reuven, and therefore he's just disgusted. And at that point, Yaakov stopped being intimate with his children, and therefore didn't have any other children. Or you could simply say that this is unrelated to the story. So there is that interpretation. Now within this, you would wonder why he didn't get punished. If really he's just so overcome by desire that he would engage in such a horrible act of adultery, of incest. And it may be that either you have to say that the rejection from the firstborn is particularly egregious, or that he must have repented at some point, which is the position of Chazal. The other approach is actually very related to the non-literal approach that we saw in the previous shiur, and that is to claim that indeed this was a power play rather than an act purely motivated by desire. Now, again, in the last year, we talked about this in the non-literal sense, recognizing that often sleeping with the wife of one's father was an attempt to claim the role as patriarch. You could equally say, well, yes, that was what's happening here, but unlike the metaphorical approach, the literal approach, he did want to basically take the place as the patriarch. And this is the position of Rav David Zvi Hoffman. For example, now why would he do this? So it could be the Ramban suggests that he didn't want Yaakov to have any more children. Now this can work even with the swapping of the beds. But the simplest understanding is if you take this approach, it really is rebellion, similar as we saw in the case of Avshalom. So then why would he do this now? So it's possible that the reason is because once Rachel died, and Rachel was the favorite wife, so now the space is open for someone else to insert themselves as a powerful figure. Rav Yaakov Meidan, my Rosh Hashiva in Gush, suggests that this was the natural reaction of Reuven to to seeing Yaakov debase himself and call himself servant to Esav, which sort of took the bite out of Yaakov's confidence and therefore left room for someone else to take the place as patriarch. And this works with what we saw from Rai Soloveitchik last time, that in this story, the two psukim before the sin, so you get Yisrael, 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 the name of Yaakov's power, but after the sin, you get Yaakov being referred to as Yaakov again, which is the name of Yaakov's weakness. Now, of course, in this sense, if this is really what's going on, so then it makes sense that the proper tshuva would be to basically give his father back the right to choose the firstborn son and his chosen son when he puts his life on the line to save Yosef twice and risks his own children, even if that's misguided, to save the other brothers and promise to protect Yaakov's new favorite of Binyamin, where you see him actively letting Yaakov run the family and trying to help as much as he can in that context. Now, what does it mean that the children of Yaakov are Shnei Masar? So it's possible that Yaakov's reaction to this power play is to treat all his sons equally, is basically to say, look, it used to be that there were the sons of the main wives, and there were the sons of the maidservants, but now there is not. I'm going to elevate all of them because I'm going to show that I'm still the father in this family, and that emerges from Reb David Zvi Hoffman. Now, it's worth noting that in the literal the non-literal approaches, the position that Chazal actually seem to focus on is the idea that Reuven is simply standing up for his mother, who he's hurt that she doesn't become the main wife after the death of Rachel, and rather it is Bilhah, and that is the dominant voice within the non-literal approach in Chazal. Okay, so that's a brief summary of what we talked about. I'm sorry that the original one got cut, but at least this should summarize the issues.